Well, Crosstalk with a KNC Masterpiece live from Jake's coming up at 9:40 right now out to California for Cowboys Insider Nick Eamon, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. That looked and sounded like a crazy day of practice yesterday, Nick, was it?
Yes. Every time you looked up, I was kind of standing, closer to the exit, and so I got a great view of several guys just walking off, limping off. That's what I saw more than anything than things on the field were the guys that were walking off the field.
Give us the ones most to least or least to most concerning that happened yesterday in your mind.
Well, yeah, I think Jaden Blue, especially from a standpoint of a guy, I think that everybody's excited to see, wanting to who's going to actually play in the preseason. I think he would be a guy that you would be somewhat worried about. It looked like it was in the foot to ankle and calf area because, he did have a little walking boot. But then later on in the walkthrough, he was just more of a sleeve. So he was out there at least for that. And it shouldn't be too serious, I wouldn't think. Jake Ferguson got hit pretty good in the back, and it was kind of it was just an accidental play, but he took a nice little shot back there. And, I think he'll be fine as well. I guess, I'm trying to think of some of the other injuries, but I think those two for sure were the ones that were, somewhat worried about.
Where were Jerry and Micah for practice?
Great question. It depends on who you ask. It's like, oh, are they signing? Are they playing Xbox? I don't know. A lot of different areas are different answers there. But, Micah did. He was back for the next walkthrough. But the official word from the team was that he was getting treatment on the back tightness.
How often can you remember Jerry missing practice?
I don't know if we've kept tabs on that one.
Yeah. Like there's been times we've been out there where I haven't noticed them.
Sometimes he's sitting up there and it's hard to see. I had to bust out the camera. The super zoom.
You can't look up there and tell if that's Jerry or Steven?
No, sometimes they're sitting. If they're standing up, yes.
Yeah.
But sometimes Jerry's sitting, and I'm like, all right, that looks like him, but let's be sure.
Right. I don't know if we have a big, if there's been a streak on that one. Like, oh, he's made all these practices. But, I feel like he's missed some too. So I think it was more of the coincidence of them together, both missing and knowing how long. All the talk that's been of them not talking that much. Maybe that was it. I don't know. I've seen the reports about the meeting and all that. I've been told, maybe that didn't happen. But maybe it didn't happen for 4 hours. You know what I mean? Maybe it was three. Who knows?
Yeah.
One way or another. We all know this thing they're going to have to meet at some point to get this thing done.
Nick Eamon, DallasCowboys.com on the D&M Leasing Hotline. That was me last night saying I was told that they had met for a long, long, long time Wednesday night, just to balance things out. I had Broadus, Slater, they're hitting me up saying no, multiple people. Basically all the insiders that I've talked to or have contacted me said I did not hear that happened or it did not take place. So that is just for everyone to know. I'm just going off of what I was told from someone who has told me stuff in the past. What is on your checklist for the Rams game tomorrow?
Well, the starting running back position is the one that I just want to see. I want to see what happens there. That's on the checklist for the Eagles game. You start there and then you're like, okay, that being said, what can we see from that against the Rams? And I don't know if we will there. Because I don't think Javonte Williams will get the start. He won't play a whole lot. Miles Sanders won't play either. But, you can kind of see, well, if Jaden Blue, you know, goes out and has a great, great game, then maybe that does affect that first game against the Eagles. But so he was one that I really wanted to see. I wanted to see that position. I think Phil Moffa will still run a lot. I mean, he's probably going to get the bulk of the carries. You might see Hunter Lipke there. So running back's going to be a position that I want to look at there. And then cornerback, I mean, you could go down the list of just about every position, but, you know, corner, they didn't cover the Rams very, very well the other day. Now, I don't know if they're going to go up against Davante Adams, Puka Nacua. I doubt it that they play. This is always one of those things. You hope the other team plays their starters, but you don't want to play yours, you know, so just so the backups can get some really good competition. But corner and running back are the two that I think I'll probably have my eye on the most. But with like a 6-way tie for other positions for third, you know, there's a lot of other spots there too.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Nick, when you look at every year we get in a training camp, and I feel like after a few weeks, it kind of we start sensing, ooh, maybe that guy's in trouble. Or, oh, maybe this guy that we didn't think was going to be on the roster now looks like he's got a chance to sneak on. As we enter the first preseason game, who are some of those names for you that stand out as, man, this is a veteran who might be in trouble, who might have to play a little bit in the second half, and who's a guy who maybe is going to sneak onto this roster?
Well, you know, I'll answer the second part of that first. I mean, just when you're looking at the cornerback position, Zion Childress, I believe, is, you know, the rookie from Kentucky's playing a lot in slot. And you know, Keemon Hall's getting a lot of work in the slot there as well. Those are two guys I wouldn't have had on the team, and they may not be on the team, but you know, they're the guys right now that are getting a lot of work there in the, you know, cornerback position, especially because of these guys that are banged up there. So those two guys I certainly wouldn't have had on the team. And then when you look at, you know, on the flip side, guys that, you know, it's going to be a challenge for them. You know, that whole offensive line, there's just so many players there. I don't know how many you could keep from a veteran standpoint. You know, I don't know if, I mean, like looking at, you know, like the TJ Bass, Brock Hoffman's, you know, Akeem Adeniji. I mean, Charles, like, there's no way they can keep all these guys. So that's just one position. I don't think that I'm giving you these great names. You're like, oh, you know, what happens if he doesn't make it? I'm just saying there's something's got to give there. But I don't know if there's a lot of spots. I mean, I love your answer there too, because I don't know if this team is good enough, deep enough where they're going to be cutting, you know, veteran players that have been around for a while.
So the one that stands out to me that I don't know how they're going to fit everybody that they either like, has had a good camp, or somebody they're committed to, is receiver. To me, looks crowded. I don't know. I don't know if Brooks is going to be here. Are they going to have to move on from Flannoy? Are they going to have a veteran that they say, you know what, we're just going to have to cut ties here because we like these young guys?
Yeah, that is one. When you look at Tolbert, Tolbert, I think, is going to make it, but you know, if a team is calling and you know, they have something to give that the Cowboys want, and maybe they're looking for a position, receiver would be one. Now, I'd be worried on doing that, just because when you get an injury, you know, I don't see Jalen Tolbert having a great camp. He's been the third guy, and he hasn't really even been the third best receiver, because Turpin, it seems like he's done so much more. But, you know, if an injury were to happen, you would certainly want an experienced player like Jalen Tolbert out there. So, yeah, I mean, I would think you're right about receiver, Bingo, and with Brooks and those guys, Flannoy, there's no way you can keep all those guys.
Nick, do you expect any surprises from a who plays perspective?
Yes, because there's always some. You know, but I remember being out there a couple, it might have been last year or a couple years ago, where you go out to the stadium and you see about 27 guys that are in this conditioning run, and you're like, oh, okay, those are the guys that aren't playing. And you to me, you get a little bit more surprised on how many guys aren't playing. Like, oh, I didn't think so-and-so would be in that group. You know, I would think he'd be up there. I think I'll be surprised. I mean, I'm expecting a lot of guys not to play. For me, the surprise will be, you know, just guys, fringe players that are held out. You know, just because there's so many guys that will play, and then we're still a little bit, you know, what, 4 weeks away from the season. And I just think that they're going to be very, very cautious.
Nick, what's your score prediction for tomorrow? you saying that for the website?
No, yeah. I think like 13 to 11. I didn't want to say the other score. I didn't want to offend you guys. You know, so I was 13 to 9. How about that?
What preseason?
Yeah, sorry. I know this. It's a rivalry. You know, it's always a rivalry.
Rivalry.
I blocked extra point, and the Cowboys will win 13 to 9.
There we go.
Thank you, Nick. Enjoy it. We'll recap Monday. Appreciate you.
All right, see you guys.
The great Nick Eatman from California, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. What preseason sport would you feel the most and least comfortable betting on, and which one is the most bet on?
Well, the NFL is the most bet on, I would assume.
Okay.
I feel most comfortable NBA.
NBA preseason?
NBA preseason, because all you need is a little bit of insight as to who's going to play in that game, which you can get. And it's you're cooking, baby.
What about soccer friendlies?
I don't know how to bet soccer.
Let's go and see what happened last night. Fan Phenom auditions. Ooh, Fred was apparently there co-hosting with Chiafalo, and we'll set you up for today, the KNC Masterpiece at Jake's, when we crosstalk with the fellas next on Sean and RJ. Oh, we got a lot to get to, not just Inside the Star on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys here with Sean and RJ, but throughout the entire program. Are we sitting in staph infection? That's coming up at 6:40. A Nelly ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway. We will chop it up as well. Joel Corey to talk about the MICA negotiations, the former NFL agent that the Tolos always love. We got Nick Eatman from Cali to recap Rams practice at 9. And Brett Boone maybe still has not gone to sleep after the win last night over the Yankees. But let's get to Bobby Belt and his phone call first.
Yeah, and it was I had a couple phone calls yesterday that I was trying to just get more clarity on everything that was going on with Micah and everything that's going on with the Cowboys. And so I had reached out to a few people with the Cowboys and reached out to a few people on Micah's side, just kind of get an idea of what do we actually know? What can we ascertain? So one of the people I called yesterday was David Mulugeta, and
Forbes number one agent.
He is.
Oh, wow.
He is. He's like, Bob Sugar, only with like Jerry Maguire's morals, and like actually like not just backstabbing like Bob Sugar was in Jerry Maguire.
Man, I feel like you want a backstabbing agent.
No, you just want somebody to get the job done, and David will get it done, and he's shown that before. And so I had just
local guy.
He's from Dallas initially. He now lives in Austin.
Went to Texas.
Yeah, he's a Longhorn. And David is, like we've talked about, David's reputation is really strong as the power player agent in the NFL now. Everything that Rosenhaus was kind of considered to be 20 years ago, that is David today. And so I had just reached out to him in touch base. I want to just ask him about specifically, there was just one question in particular that I had that I figured he'd probably be able to give me the answer for. And that was the topic after we were going through the timeline yesterday of did Micah want to get a deal done last year? Because I think that's something that we haven't gotten necessarily a definitive timeline on of when things would happen. I know Mike said it was after the season in a statement, but then there was a quote we were talking about yesterday where he had said, I'm just focused on playing, and how Steven had said he's betting on himself. He wants to stack up the year.
And the Cowboys version is that they were totally in on getting a deal done last year because they could have been living in the threes instead of the fours.
So this is basically what David told me. He said, This is the on the record like description of this is what happened. He said after the 24 season, saw them at Combine and told them we're open for business, basically. Said we're ready to do a deal. We're ready to work on an extension if you guys want to.
Combine when all of us were there.
No, this is last year.
Last year.
This was it. So this is 18 months ago. They told them we're ready to do a deal. So they are disputing the claim that they haven't wanted to get a deal done. They've wanted to wait. David said, no, we told them we were ready to go. And he said, Cowboys had told them at the time, we got a lot of things we got to work through right now, particularly Dak's contract is a priority at the moment. And he said they totally understood it. Went, yep, handle what you got to handle. Understand it. That's a pressing issue. Just let you know, we're open for business. When you guys are done with that, you guys can hit us up. Well, obviously, Dak didn't get done till week one. Once week one rolls around, yeah, then Micah was focused on the season. And so it's like, okay, no, we're in season now. We're not going to go negotiating and make this be a distraction. We're focused on the season. So that's when Micah said, I'm going to play the season. It was because it had started. So they, when they heard that, they understood that aspect of it. But because that took so long, that kind of ended the opportunity to get anything done in 24 as soon as the season began. So they then communicated again to the Cowboys in 25 this past year. They were ready to do business again. And nothing has transpired, obviously, since then. So the official word is from them is that they have communicated on two separate occasions over the course of 18 months. Guys, we're ready to do this, mm-hmm. and it just hasn't happened yet. But I think talking to, I'll tell you, the impression I got yesterday talking to people with the Cowboys and just calling around the league and stuff like that is they're not joking with the request. Like right now, they're serious, it feels like. Now, I didn't get into any of that with David specifically because we're just trying to address that one thing. But I think when you talk to people around, there's a lot of people around the Cowboys right now who feel like they're not bluffing.
Because all
like,
of us are saying they're going to get it done.
Yeah, they'll get it done.
They're going to get it done. It's a negotiating ploy.
I don't think it's lost, but it's in need of repair. The way things are currently, they want out. And that's the thing is that I think they have to, I think the Cowboys have to be the ones to extend the olive branch and say, hey, we'll fix this. Like because clearly if they've reached out twice, like David Muluga has said on the record twice, they've done it and it were these instances and this is what we heard back, then I think that clearly says that the Cowboys are the ones who now have balls in their court to like go do something about it. But I think that it felt more real after talking to people around the team yesterday. It felt more real to me that this is this isn't just a leverage play. They're legitimately asking out given what things are right now.
Yeah, and if you listen to Jerry Jones again, a lot does have to be fixed because it is personal. It is. He sat there and talked after the Rams scrimmage, and he once again outlined and recapped to reporters the deal he thought they had.
It's my understanding nothing was put in writing. So how would you describe a deal getting, so to speak, done and then walked away from?
I bought the Dallas Cowboys with a handshake. Took about 30 seconds and I gave the number, shook hands. The details we worked out later. As a matter of fact, one of the details involved a lot of money and we had to flip a coin over that. But the fundamental, I'm buying and you're going to sell it to me for that range, that's done. And those are done with eye contact and handshake.
So is there... So
just so you understand why I, the way that I communicate with people that I negotiate with. So but let's leave it at that. There is no question that in the case of a player contract, you have to have it in writing. All parties do. We have a contract in writing, yet we're still talking about renegotiating it. So much for that.
Great question from Jane. She had been texting us behind the scenes. I heard it was not in writing. NFL Network with the credit as Jane had like a one-on-one for 4 minutes with Jerry. And this is an argument now over a handshake and old school versus new school business. Jerry Jones saying, hey, I bought the Cowboys like this. This is the way I do business. If we look at each other in the eye and shake hands, the deal's done and we'll work out the formalities down the line. Well, the formalities and the details may be very, 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 very important. I don't know how minor of a details we're talking about getting worked out. But this is Jerry saying, this is how I operate. We shook hands. We had it done. And then he's got to get in his contract dig by saying, hey, you guys are giving me a hard time over just a verbal agreement. We have an actual agreement in writing. We have an official NFL contract, and we're talking about breaking that. Right. So that was Jerry yesterday.
Yeah, look, I mean, if Jerry, and there's plenty of people, and Jerry's not the only one that operates that, hey, look, we make a deal, we make a verbal agreement.
Again.
Shake hands. That's the agreed upon contract. You know, like then it gets down to what he would say, circumcise the mosquitoes, which is the nuts and bolts of the deal. The if it's your regular job, the time off, that you will agree to a dollar figure with your boss or whoever the, and then the nuts and bolts get worked out later. That's probably sounds like what Jerry's talking about.
I guess the only way I could take Jerry's side is if they agreed on years,
40 million year, whatever it is,
years, right? Number, guarantee. Then I could see how Jerry's all butthurt. But look, man,
I think they may have just agreed on one of those things. Like it may have very well been, we agree on the average annual.
Yeah, it may have been. Yeah, I'll take 45 a year.
I'll take, and then now it's, well, how much is guaranteed? How many years is this over? That's the stuff you got to work out.
And those aren't small things.
They're not small.
On Micah's behalf, they're not small things. 4 years versus 5 years, getting back to the market like Dak did. The guaranteed money that I know no matter what, if I get hit by a car, will be in my bank account. Those aren't small things. Again, we're just guessing over to what they were negotiating over. But the final thing I'll say on this before turning it over to Bobby, I used to start off like this because my dad was old school. Handshake, napkin. We looked at each other in the eye for his profession and practice in Maryland. And people started leaving and people started breaking the deals. And then finally we had to have a kumbaya of, man, it's nice, Dad, that you have these principles and you have these ethics and you have these morals and all that crap. But eventually at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's crap until it's written down and signed. When I'm sitting there selling a house or making this deal or that, he always tells me, Mr. Principal, Mr. Handshake, Mr. Look in the Eye, it doesn't mean anything until it's signed and the money is in the account. And Jerry Jones is just stuck on that old school way.
Yeah, and look, I don't, like you're saying, I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with being idealistic about it like that. Like thinking necessarily like, man, a handshake and a firm word. But again, if the context of what you were even discussing was misunderstood, then that handshake could have been sincere. And like, there's just a completely different interpretation as to what that handshake means.
And was Micah surprised? This is another thing. Was Micah surprised that their leadership meeting turned into a negotiation? Or did he walk in there thinking that he was Lamar Jackson representing himself? Because if that's the case, which Micah said it was, then I don't care what Jerry Jones agreed to. You circumvented the rules. I don't know why the National Football League has not stepped in and punished him or the Cowboys for illegally negotiating. That's what this is. Like, Florida's the only one to put out a headline on it. So I don't care what you agreed to. You try to take advantage, in my opinion, of the player by keeping the agent out of it, luring him into a sit down under false pretenses that you're going to talk about team leadership and taking over for Tank. And no one cares. Like, no one cares in the whole league.
Yeah, here's the problem. This is being represented, it feels like, from the Cowboys side a little bit. It's being represented like this is the DeAndre Jordan situation from 10 years ago with Dallas, where it's like, man, we had this firm agreement and, you know, then David Mulugeta came in and he put a chair under the door and blocked anybody from coming in and letting Micah sign it. Like, that's what we've run into now. It's like, no, the difference in that one is like DeAndre Jordan had agents that negotiated the deal, had it ready, and then DeAndre Jordan just walked away from what he had agreed to and didn't sign it. Yeah. If that was a deal where you negotiated everything, the thing was in front of you, it's placed for it. I understand Jerry being that mad about it. If it's, you guys talked, and there's not even a complete clarity about what are we discussing, why, what are we here for, you can't take any of that.
I'll ask you some yes or no's about your conversation with Mulugeta. I already really kind of probably know the answers, but you can just say yes or no. Obviously, he did not tell you the terms of what they're looking for.
No.
Did he elaborate on them just not speaking or his phone calls not getting returned?
No.
All right. Those are my two questions.
He's very... David's not going to negotiate through the media. He'll clarify things for you. And I know that. And so if I ask him, I knew asking him specifically, hey, the timeline, what's true here? Then I know David's going to address that and is comfortable addressing that. That's why I still called around asking other people things. And like I said, the biggest impression I got talking to people yesterday is they're not joking. They're very serious about their request.
The biggest Cowboy problem that came against the Rams will take you on the practice fields in Oxnard for the scrimmage that many people think is more important now than the actual preseason game this weekend. Inside the Star continues next. The Payload is coming up at 6:40 with Peyton Phillip Russell. Did you get a fresh haircut or no?
I got this last week, I think last Thursday.
Okay.
So you guys were in Oxnard.
All right. Bobby, did you get a recent haircut?
Yeah, I shaved my head Tuesday.
Okay.
Oh,
yep.
Right. Before Very Oxnard.
Nice. No. Before I had to wheel and deal in the suite. You know?
Oh, so, that's right. Well,
yeah, I trimmed up the cheek line, everything. It was well, Kristen made me, so.
Yeah. Payload coming up at 6:40. Nelly ticket giveaway during the 720 Expressway. The Neighborhood Watch. Mike Florio on the Micah Saga at 8 o'clock from ProFootballTalk.com. And Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com at 9:20. The show of Wales continues. Brian Schottenheimer's review from the Rams scrimmage, according to Todd Archer. They carried the pads too high. No takeaways. Attention to detail. Will not go to more padded work. In Oxnard, not overly concerned about that. So that's Shoddy's review after checking things out. A question I would like to ask him for the coaches show when it happens. Could have happened in California, I guess, but no. KNC took care of that.
Mm.
He's like, we needed different looks. The Rams are giving us like a 3-4 look. So do you then, how do you have Eberflus or get those looks when the defense is also trying to work on their own stuff? You know what I mean? And vice versa. Like, well, yeah. I won't even say vice versa. 3-4 defense looks.
They'll have some packages that will, in terms of you'll have three down linemen, you'll have stand-up edge rushers. Like, there are going to be some packages like that. So they'll get that work when it's there. Otherwise, they might try to simulate some stuff during a practice week if they've got a 3-4 team or whatever else. But a lot of it's just going to be you're going to get game reps and you're going to study film. That's why you do work like this. Is to them, they say, yeah, this is the time you work out these sort of kinks and you go along, but like you can really only prepare so much for the experience of going against a team like that. It's just like when you go against Lamar Jackson and they'll take a practice squad safety or somebody who's really fast and go, you're going to have to pretend to be quarterback back here because we can't sacrifice time.
Jory Epstein caught up with Dak Prescott to get his Micah reaction, and Dak's text to Micah on Friday, F, man. He knows what that means. It wasn't F you or Micah F them. It's more of a F. This is frustrating for everybody involved. He wants to be out there practicing. And honestly, I'm glad he's not. He can't do that to himself. That's the business part of the holdout. I wear a red jersey, so it's a little bit different because, right, Dak never missed training camp practices through his two extension negotiations. And he goes, I wear a red jersey. I'm going to be protected unless something freaky happens. And if something freakish happens, that could have happened walking up to the car as well. So as far as Micah, completely different position. Guys are getting tripped up, tumbled all the time. As far as business, you just can't do that. Cannot put yourself at risk. Obviously, I believe he should get paid, Dak said. But I think he's making the right approach by being at camp. Because a lot of times, players forget how much joy and love being around your teammates brings and how much of that is truly football when you're focused on a contract and you're just waiting for that to be done. Being in the locker room allows you to still keep your joy for the game and to still understand the sacrifice you're making with people. But hey, there's business to it. I just can't be out there with you guys because of potential injury risk. He's a guy that's done a lot for this team and deserves to have that stance.
You know, my first takeaway from that is, what secret injury involving a car with this team have we not heard about?
Oh, my God.
Something happened with a car that Jerry had to reference. You could get hit by a car. And Dak's like, well, you could get hurt walking to your car. Somebody did something with a car that they didn't tell us about. And it was like buried by the team. So I don't know. That's my mission this year.
Maybe it was Jerry's car accident. I hate that saying in general.
Yeah.
My kid is...
I could die walking out the front door.
My grandfather, yeah, every day, I swear he got hit by a bus. Because he was like, you can get hit by a bus tomorrow. I was like, yeah, I could. Could.
Yeah, but it depends. It depends what you're comparing it to. So, like, if my 17-year-old is jumping off the top of the house into the pool and I say, don't be a dumbass, you're going to break your neck, he'll go, well, I could get hit in a car. No, it doesn't mean you should jump off the roof of that. It's not really the same thing.
Again,
I could get hit by a bus walking across the street. Okay, that means that you should just sit there and do backflips on the concrete.
It's like the whenever I'm talking about plane travel, and ever anybody's always like, you know, you're statistically more likely to die in a car accident. It's like, no, I'm not. When I wreck my car and I wreck a plane, one of those, the chances of me dying are much higher than the car.
They're higher.
Higher. Much higher. So it's not totally the same.
I think it's the
number of accidents on the right. road.
Yeah, well, it's also like the theory behind that saying, obviously, is like when your time's up, your time's up. You got no control over it.
Yeah.
I look at what Dak said there, and it sounds like the politician they want him to be. Like he's there. There's a way to align with Micah there and to come off sounding like, and this is why he's the face that they like having up there talking about political issues for the team. There's a way to talk about it and a way to sound forcefully in favor of Micah, which I think he is, while also not kind of taking a shot at the organization in the process.
Here's a question I had yesterday while driving home. I can't remember who said on the radio here on the station, obviously the locker room is in full support of Dak. And I hit the, in support of Micah. And I pumped the brakes, not literally in the car, even though I am only going 45, 50 miles per hour.
Yeah, he's slow.
Jane had a report that 2 years ago they were thinking about trading him when basically everyone in the organization and locker room had a problem with the podcast. So if I just said to you, Bobby, everyone is supporting Mike in the locker room, how much would you push back on that? As a beloved player and teammate.
So in this instance, if we're just talking about everybody's in support of Micah getting his money, that they are. Because to them, it's like, I've got a negotiation coming up. I don't want to have this trouble. I don't want to see that. They see that negotiating side right now and they go, I don't want that when I sit down. Like, I don't want to run it. So in that sense, I think they may be saying it in that sense. Like, everybody's in support of what Micah's cause is.
Yeah.
Micah's, I think his relationship with people in the locker room and some of the way people understand the way he goes about things, I think it's better than it was 2 years ago.
Okay.
2 years ago, I do think that there were, after that Green Bay game, there were a lot of people that were upset with how he handled some things. But it was not, I don't think it was anything totally detrimental. It was more just like, is he gonna keep doing this? And I think over time, last year with Zimmer, as much as people feel like Zimmer didn't bring enough on the field X's and O's wise, I think last year Micah's time with Zimmer was really good for him to understand, like, hey, you play a role in a defense and you have to do it. Like, you cannot just solo this thing all the time. And I think he became a better teammate through that, and I think he got closer to guys. But yeah,
it's not like if he got dealt today, there'd be a 30% yes inside the locker room or 40%.
I don't think it's like, I think a couple years ago, maybe. Not today.
All right, what else did you find out or study up on yesterday?
There were a couple different things. One, I'm trying to figure out under what circumstances would, and we'll get into this a little more at 8:40, but under what circumstances would a trade actually happen? Because the Cowboys are very much like, nope, not happening. This isn't happening. We're not going to deal you. And there's a history here that says when they say that, they mean it.
Does it also make sense? What if this was 2 weeks before the draft?
That he had asked for it.
Yeah, consideration of dealing him. It's amazing to me the timing of the draft, both in terms of the value of the picks, how drastically it changes, you know, before it and after it. People now are like, well, you don't have a draft coming up. Well, okay, but you will have a draft coming up in a matter of months after the season is over. But since that draft isn't right there next month.
Picks aren't as valuable.
We can't do it right now because something will happen to those draft picks when they're sitting in the fridge for however many months.
So I went back and looked. They have, since Jerry got here, they've had 8 players request trades. Some publicly, some privately that like got out. But this is the rundown of how they've handled it.
And I guess real quick to answer my own question, I guess you could argue, well, yeah, you don't want to do it without the draft right in front of you because you're not going to have those players help your team win that season immediately.
Yeah, and especially for a team like Dallas, which is very we got to win.
Win now. Yeah.
Steve Plour was the quarterback in 1988. They drafted Troy Aikman. They had the supplemental pick with Steve Walsh when Jimmy Johnson got here. So he had asked out for a trade in April of 89 when Jerry got here. They ended up trading him. They held on to him until October, though, and then he got traded to the Chiefs. Kevin Brooks, who was a cover your ears. This is going to sound familiar. He was a first round draft pick, defensive tackle out of Michigan, who just never totally reached his potential.
Knew it back then.
Won it out. Did not get along with Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy was like, fine, there's the door. He had to request that trade in May of 89. He got traded into July before training camp. Alexander Wright in 1992, who was one of the speedsters of the NFL. He was a second round pick for them in 1990. He had publicly, or his agent Pat Dye had requested a trade with the Cowboys during the 92 season. Alexander Wright said, no, I didn't request that trade. I don't know what they're talking about. But privately he had, Jimmy told the media, we're not trading him. 3 weeks later, they traded him to the Raiders. So that is the last time the Cowboys fulfilled a trade request, was 1992 with Alexander Wright. So that means the last time Jerry fulfilled a trade request, he didn't have a Super Bowl ring. And So since then, it hasn't happened. These are the ones who have requested since, and these are all massive players. Emmitt Smith in 1993, 2 days before the season, said, trade me. Jerry gave a comment on the record of the Dallas Morning News. He said, that's totally out of the question. We're not doing it. Michael Irvin in 1997. A lot of people forget Michael Irvin requested a trade near the end of his career. Irvin in 97, after legal trouble and some other stuff he had had, in January of 97, so well before the draft, he wanted out. He was tired of the scrutiny in Dallas, said he wanted to be traded. Cowboys said, nope. Rich Dalrymple said it's a non-issue and said, Jerry, quote, refuses to comment because there's nothing there. That continued on to where Michael didn't show up for off-season workouts at all. He was blowing it off. He was late to training camp. A two-hour sit-down with Jerry on the first day he's in training camp, and he came out going, all right, I'll play. And that was enough to swing. But he had threatened retirement on them. He's like, if you don't trade me, I'm retiring.
Wow.
2012 Mike Jenkins, when he was rehabbing out of the building and had the shoulder issue, he publicly said he didn't request a trade, but that was reported everywhere. They held on to him, said they're not going to trade him, held on to him, made him play out the year as a backup. Then he signed with the Raiders on a one-year deal. Ron Leary in 2016.
They refused
to trade him despite Lyle Collins taking the starting job. Lyle Collins gets hurt. Leary plays out the rest of the year, and then he signs with Denver the following offseason. And then the last one was 2022, where DeMarcus Lawrence and his negotiations privately said, all right, this sounds like we're not going to be able to get you guys need to trade me. Dallas fixed the offer, came back, got it right. But five pretty significant contributors.
And what do you think it is about Jerry's philosophy that has resulted in that versus like, okay, let's consider it here and there?
I think early on, if you're talking about, so Plour and Kevin Brooks, those first two, those weren't their people. It's like, we just showed up on the scene. We don't get along with you. Fine. We'll trade you. Alexander Wright had fallen out of favor with Jimmy Johnson. He had fumbles. They replaced him as the kick returner. They didn't like him anymore. If they still like you, they don't care if you won out. It's like, well, we like you. You're not going anywhere. That's kind of the approach. And if they still like Micah, that's the thing. I think
Jerry, of all people, is not going to let the players win the league.
Here's the one scenario I think could end up in a trade. Because I think the Cowboys mean it when they say we're not trading him. The one scenario that could is if they cannot get a deal and he's playing on that fifth-year option this year, I think the odds shoot up a ton that they just tag him next year and deal him in the offseason. I think that would be their play if they can't get something done this year.
Whoa. Tag and deal him.
Yeah, essentially just get the first-round picks for somebody signing him away on the franchise tag, which a team would probably be willing to do because They just say, okay, well, we just got to give up.
We thought it was going to be
two first plus, but all right, well, sure, we'll sign this off, and it's the same setup we would have had.
Cowboys Insider, working the phones, Bobby Roberto Belt. It's the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ. Peyton may be selling us his wedding invitations. Mm-hmm. And we finally have justice against the squatter, some of the worst people on planet Earth. It's The Payload with Peyton Phillip after this.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Jake's off of Marsh Lane in Dallas, 10031 Marsh Lane. Come check us out. Get one of your pint glasses. Got a first 50 people that swing through. Get a pint glass, Jake's 40th anniversary collector's glass. Four lucky winners get the limited edition Jake's baseball jersey. And you can also register to win a pair of tickets to Rangers Astros. That's on the, I think, September 7th is going to be that game. That's one you're going to want to be at. So get in here today to take advantage of that and also hang out with us. Jake's awesome, dude. Like, Jake's has amazing burgers.
Back-to-back Jake's nights for your boy. So
yeah, go come in here, get a Flamin' Rooster. You'll love it. All right, right now it is time to go out to Oxnard, California, where our friend Mickey Spagnola is standing by. Mickey is brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how's it going today, man?
Great. How are you guys today?
Well, Friday. I mean, we're healthy on a Friday, so that's a good thing. Yesterday, I was concerned that we might not have enough healthy players to go into Saturday. How are we feeling about yesterday's practice?
Yeah, I think that the running back position is going to be a little stressed come tomorrow for the first preseason game, having seen Jaden Blue go down with an ankle. They already, you know, Deuce just got back into practice yesterday, but he really didn't get any team reps, so I doubt that he plays. Miles Sanders is out, and I would doubt that Javonte Williams would play on Saturday. So that kind of leaves you with Hunter Lipke, Marfa, and I think I'm running out of guys, right? That's going to be a pretty thin group coming to the first preseason game. I'm not sure how long Blue will be out. It was unfortunate. I don't know what got into Sam Williams, but he yanked him from his face mask, and it looked like he probably hurt his neck, but he twisted his ankle. So we'll see how long he's going to be out. The Ferguson one was pretty scary when he went down. And, you know, they were in pads, and he got kind of sideswiped and ended up with a back. At least he walked off. So at least that gave you some hope that it's not a major injury. But again, you never know until guys wake up the next morning to see exactly where they're at.
Yeah, on that one, it didn't, like, when I watched it, I was like, okay, he did get sideswiped. It was a really good use of that. And, you know, when you're caught off guard like that, you know, you never know how your body's going to react. How did Kenneth Murray react afterwards, though?
Yeah, he went over there, was trying to help him out. And, you know, he said, you know, things happen in that close to in the red zone. And he said it just happened. And he goes, you know, you don't want to hurt. I thought this was pretty funny. He says, you don't want to hurt one of your teammates. He said, if it happens to a guy on another team, I could care less. So that kind of gives you his mentality about playing linebacker, right?
Yeah, yeah, that dude will hit you.
Mickey, so running back, I mean, hey, I'll tell you what, not that anybody's celebrating anybody getting hurt, but, I mean, for Phil Maffa, who has been, you know, hasn't had the most repetitions in camp, this could be kind of a opportunity for him to get a heavy, you know, lion's share of the carries tomorrow. What are you looking at as far as the left tackle position, which is already a position in flux? Who do you look at tomorrow to kind of maybe go out there, get good reps, and kind of reestablish themselves as a leader out there?
Well, at left tackle, I mean, they've been using Nate Thomas, and he pretty exclusively yesterday in practice was the left tackle with the first team. So I would imagine that he's going to get some exposure out there. You know, we got to remember about him. The last time he played in a football game would have been with Louisiana in 2023, right? He missed everything last year. He was placed on IR. So what he did in that scrimmage was probably that was the first time he actually played against another team. So I'm anxious to see how he reacts now that he got that scrimmage under his belt and maybe has a little bit more confidence in himself. And I think sometimes guys like that, especially when they, you know, you've got Jared Verse against you and you know who he is, and you're probably going, oh, okay, can I do this? And I think as the day went on, he did better. He has to remember that he's got long arms, and he's got to use his arms and not his chest to stop guys from the pass rush part of it. And so we'll see if he comes along there. Asim Richards is kind of getting the second team reps there, and I don't know that he's made a move yet to overtake Thomas. So right now it's Nate Thomas, and we'll see how he does. And see, this is where these preseason games are so important for young guys like that to get reps against another team. And it gives guys like him that nobody really kind of knew about or knows about in other positions to give an opportunity to kind of show what they might be able to do. But if you continue to decrease the amount of preseason games, and I understand that, you know, people don't want to have to pay money to go for to see preseason games. But in situations like this, these games are vitally important to a young Cowboys team that have a lot of positions that they got to sort out with some guys that not many people know about.
What's the latest, real quick, and I might be the only person outside of Akeem Adeniji's family that cares about this next question. What's the latest and greatest on him?
On who? I'm sorry.
My fellow Jayhawk, Akeem Adeniji.
You know what? He ended up, I think it was yesterday, he got a couple first-team snaps in place.
Okay,
Steel.
Rock chalk.
So they kind of, be careful with the rock chalk, okay?
Easy. What's that supposed to
mean? He's a Missouri Tiger.
He's a Missouri Tiger. Oh, you went to that overrated journalism school in Columbia. Okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I hear you.
Journalism school in Columbia,
oh, okay.
By the way.
See, we won a Hearst National
and
Championship when I was there.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what that means,
jeez.
So sorry. I went to the premier journalism school in the Midwest.
You know, he got some opportunities, so yeah, I think that he's kind of showed up well so far.
Okay.
And they've got to keep 9-10 offensive linemen. So I think he's got his hand in the air as, you know, don't forget about me. So, yeah.
Nice.
And again, opportunity, that's what these guys have to earn to get a chance to go out there and show what they can do. And so all these reps they get in these practices are vital for guys like that to kind of show up and say, okay, well, let's see if we give you this, how well you do. So, if nothing else, and I know, it's not much of a consolation, but you make the practice squad and you never know because you continue to get work during the season.
Yeah, that's always important. Mickey, this roster, how much of it would you say is completely set? Like, what percentage would you say is locked in and what percentage is wide open? Because you just kind of mentioned that just a second ago. If you were to put a percentage number.
Yeah, I would think that there's probably, just off the top of my head, like maybe 10 spots available, which
all
is...
Right.
It's a good sum, too.
It's a significant number, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, what do we got, 2-3 weeks to go? And, you know, I hate to say this, but injuries do occur.
Absolutely, they do.
And so, again, when these young guys like Zion Childress getting opportunities to kind of show what he can do in the slot, Keeman Hall in the slot, that makes a difference if they get opportunities and take advantage of them. Because, you know, at the cornerback position, if they had to play next week, Trayvon Diggs is not ready to go.
True.
Josh Butler is not ready to go. So now you've got this dilemma on where I use Deron Bland. Or is he doing both? Like in base defense, he's my outside cornerback. Now when I go to nickel, does he have to go in the slot? Well, if he goes in the slot, then somebody else has got to be playing well enough to play on the outside. So they got to sort out the cornerback position for sure. And I think there's a lot of candidates at defensive end right now. To be able to, figure out who are the backup guys that are going to come in and possibly make the team, and then the rest of the offensive line. So I think you've got to be able to sort those things out. We mentioned the running back thing. That's certainly not settled. I think at wide receiver, we pretty much know probably 5 guys, but can somebody say, hey, I'm the 6th guy, you got to put me on the 53, otherwise if you got to release me and try to get me on the practice squad, Somebody else might pick me up. And that's another thing that has to be considered, too, because sometimes you don't want to expose somebody that you know you want to keep up, maybe on the practice squad, and then somebody grabs them when you have to release them and then re-sign them. So there's a little cat and mouse stuff that goes on towards the end here in those last couple preseason games, like, I don't want to expose this guy because I would sure like to keep him, but if I show too much, somebody might sign him to their 53. So there's a lot of that that goes on in these next couple weeks.
Mickey Spagnuolo, Cowboys Insider, joining us, talking all things Dallas Cowboys ahead of tomorrow's big game against the Los Angeles Rams. You mentioned, obviously, Kenneth Murray. It feels like that's the first time out. I mean, we've heard Kenneth Murray's name twice this year, right? Knocking out Jake Ferguson yesterday and then having a kid. God bless him. That said, now that we've finally had some physical practices, now we've had some padded practices from a linebacker perspective, now that you've had to kind of really put your eyes on guys and see kind of the physicality of it, see what this new scheme looks like, who stood out to you?
Yeah, I think the two linebackers, well, you know what, kind of the unknown linebackers, because I'm not sure everybody was familiar with Kenneth Murray. And I want to say it was Schottenheimer when he first was asked about Kenneth Murray, and he said he plays like a grown-ass man.
Yeah, he does.
And he does, right? And he's the guy that was wearing the green dot in his helmet, even though he was not considered the middle linebacker. He was one of the outside linebackers. I think Jack Sanborn quietly has shown that he has the instincts to play in the middle. Now, you kind of worry about his size. That's like 6'2", 235 off the top of my head. Not great size for a middle linebacker, but you know what? Eric Kendricks last year wasn't a big middle linebacker, but he was fast, he was quick, and he had instincts. And so if you could compensate for your lack of size, I think Leofau has had a good camp. And the guy that has sort of kind of reestablished himself is Damone Clark.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
He got lost last year in, I don't know if it was scheme, if the coaches didn't like his style of play, but I think we forget that the year before he led this team in tackles.
Yep.
And I think he has reestablished himself. Maybe he's not a starter, but I think he's a rotation guy and a guy that you can use because he's been all over the field. He's been playing physical. I think that from a linebacker spot that we didn't know a lot about, I think they might have reestablished themselves there. So I think, yeah, nice. Guys like that, especially at the linebacker spot, I think have stood out.
Mickey, thank you so much for your time, all your hard work this week. We look forward to talking with you next week as well, and I know you're going to be a very busy man tomorrow out there at SoFi. Have a good one, all right?
Yeah, we got a pregame show that starts at 5 3. O'clock Central. Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll get this thing rolling. Looking forward to it.
M-I-Z.
Right here on the Fan. There he goes. Mickey Spagnuolo, our Dallas Cowboys insider, always helping us out.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Jake's in Sachse, and we'll be here until 7 o'clock, and then Fan Phenom's going to take over. So we're excited to see all the hopeful Tolos out here try out to be the next fan host. Here's Broadus with Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you to Reliant, and thank you to Jake's for having us here on the first leg of the Fan Phenom. Excited to see how this thing materializes the next several weeks. Also, Eric, we got our pregame show this Saturday. So we signed up.
Oh, crap. Do we really?
Yeah, we signed up for the 18 weeks of football. So
that's right.
So we got some weeknight games. That'll be fun. And then we got the weekend games. But our pregame show starts at 3 o'clock. And then Woolchuck and I will do the postgame show after that. So I'm sure we'll have some interesting conversations if the Cowboys go out there and just
do what they did the other day.
Do what they do the other day.
Just get S'd on for four quarters.
You know what? I'll say this, though.
Say it.
I'd love to be able to sit down and study the practice tape like I used to when I worked for DallasCowboys.com. That was always one of my highlights of getting to sit down and watch the tape and kind of figure out, well, why did this work or why didn't this work? I'll say this, though. Our friends over there at DallasCowboys.com with Nicole and Kyle Yeomans, they did a good job with the they did the 2 minute drill. Like they had 13 minutes of like watch. Okay, here we're gonna do training camp live, and it's Cowboys offense versus Rams defense. And I was encouraged by that. If everything was bad leading up to that point, the one thing that kind of gave me a little bit of encouragement was, okay, they have to have this drive. They have to get in field goal position. They have to make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
And they made some plays.
Yeah, and you
and
see...
That, I mean, hey, the rest of the practice might have been dog-ass, but that 12 minutes you watch, it's like, okay, they have to have this. They have to block. They have to be able to pick up. They have to be able to run routes. The quarterback can't go back there and get sacked. They got to use their timeouts right. That part of it was encouraging to me. But and again, I give DallasCowboys.com and those guys a thank you for putting that part of the practice out, because that gave me a little bit of an idea. It said, okay, maybe things weren't as terrible. And it sounded bad in a lot of ways. But the fact that I got to see a little bit for myself and evaluate some of the offensive linemen and watching BB and Booker and those guys and how they were kind of picking things up, you know, it gave me a little hope. Like, okay, this practice wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, or how it sounded.
Yeah,
when you watch the clips.
Yeah, that was
like
a nice little silver
lining.
Who was
doing the play-by-play with Yeomans on that?
It was Nicole Hutchinson.
Nice.
Yeah, she does. They do, both of them do Cowboys TV. And I think she's sideline reporter for the preseason games. I think I'm right. If it's not her, Nick Eaton, it might be one of them.
Well, she does a great job.
Yeah, but she knows her ball, and she really does a good job. Okay, I'm going to give you some names, some guys that need to have a good start to this these preseason.
Are all
games.
These names on the same line, or is this like a power ranking? Like, is the first name you give me the most important? Like the guy with the most.
I would say it was. I'm just going to go off the list of my roster how I have it. And I'll start with the offense first. Pick any wide receiver not named Lamb, Pickens, or Turpin.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes Holden, Flournoy. It also includes, how about Mingo, and how about Brooks? Those are the guys I think that are in the battle. I know we talked about that a little bit earlier, that you know, where are they on the receiver levels?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got three that are for sure. I'm not saying that Mingo and those guys will get cut, but somebody out of that group I don't think is going to be here.
Right.
I think you got to keep Mingo for the run blocking, really, the physicality that he's going to bring to the mm-hmm. position. You need an overall upgrade in physicality and toughness on your football team, and Mingo can at least, you know, you want to create more of a running situation, or you're third and short, you're going to take Pickens off the field or Lamb off the field. Here comes Mingo.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if anybody else gives you a different look. Like, Treshawn Holden is just a really poor man's featured receiver who's slow, right? And maybe he can overcome that to have a role, but I feel like Mingo gives you something, a role that you wouldn't otherwise have.
I'm kind of in agreement with you on that. I've liked what I've seen from Holden. I'll tell you, the guy that's been surprisingly good throughout and been consistent has been Jalen Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, because of his toughness and his ability to play a little special teams, is he angling himself to be one of these guys? But pick any Cowboy wide receiver, not named the first three, those guys would be. How about John Stevens at tight end? John Stevens has been a guy that kind of the last 2 years has dealt with knee injuries. You know, he was a guy that said, oh, he was going to make the team. Now he's in that position where he might be battling for a practice squad spot. But he was kind of talked about initially as being a guy that maybe, oh, well, hey, the Schoonmaker, and they'll, you know, get, you know, all these guys and span forward, he'll be in the mix and all that. He needs to show that he can once again do this, because he's not been playing at the level that I saw at practice, that we saw a guy that was going to make the team earlier.
Yeah, pre-injury, he had the athleticism and the confidence, and now it's kind of been taken away from him.
Nate Thomas needs to have a good start at tackle. And I say this in a way because Nate Thomas has not played a lot of football. I mean, last year he was on the IR, and then as being a rookie last year, but he's going to need to get the work. He's going to need to prove to this staff that he can handle this job. He's got to go out there and show that, hey, I can line up, I can block, I can do what I have to do. I'll play with the balance, I'll play with the body control, I can do things. He did some good things in the 2 minute drill, but he had a little bit of a rough day too against Verse, and some of those aspects. A lot of guys had rough days overall, but I think Nate Thomas needs to prove to the Cowboys that he can be that guy that they can rely on. So he needs a very, very good start as well. I think Akeem Adeniji, I think he's another guy. Adeniji has to prove to these coaches that, like, okay, is he the veteran guy that we can use as that swing tackle? Is he going to be a reliable backup? I think there's a lot to be said about him. He dealt with the concussion. He needs to have a good start in the preseason. On the defensive side of the ball, Damone Clark. I heard Damone Clark had a really nice day the other day when they started talking about the linebackers. Damone Clark, Maris Leofau, the two names that were mentioned is the linebackers that actually showed up.
Everybody else, Rams.
Yeah, first the Rams in the scrimmage. So need to have him. I think there's a lot of questions now about Israel Mukwamu. I think that, you know, and we all know him as a veteran guy and what he could potentially do. And, oh, he could play slot, he could play safety. I think that we've seen a lot of times where the ball has gone over his head and things have gone poorly for him. I think he needs to show these coaches, and it's a new staff, listen, you got to be able to make plays. And I think that it's very, very important that he shows that in these preseason games. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunity. Andrew Booth, I'm not going to mention because I don't think Andrew Booth is good enough. I just don't. So I'm not going to mention him.
I saw Davante Adams just tearing him up.
Now, Zion Childers is another guy who's a cornerback. Could Zion Childers be one of these guys that replaces if he has a good couple of games here? Can he be a guy that takes Israel Kwamu's spot if Israel's going backwards? They need cornerbacks here. Zion Childers has shown that he can make plays.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I think he's going to get a lot of opportunity.
I liked him, dude. He was better than Mukwamu when we were out there, and he was running with the ones a little bit today in camp. I saw Nick Harris post that. He's making plays out there. I like that, dude.
The two defensive tackles there, Tommy Akinbasati, I think, you know, he's shown up in the scrimmage. He showed up a little bit more than Jay Toa. And so I think both of these defensive tackles, these one techniques, I'm not even going to consider Mozzie Smith in this situation. Maybe Mozzie Smith shows up, but every time I think that he might do that, then he does not anything. I don't think, like, I watch him play. I don't know if football is really important to him right now. And so you're going to need to find somebody at this defensive tackle spot. The two rookies, I think, are the guys that both of those need to have good starts to the games, because if they do that, maybe that'll make the coaches feel a little bit better about the one technique. But it's going to come down to these two rookies. I just don't personally feel like that you could take Mozzie Smith and really rely on him. I think that you know, he was a crossroads player to me, like Damone Clark was a crossroads player. I just feel like that they're kind of, he's taken the road of, okay, I'm not going to be here anymore. The other guys are kind of taking the road of, like, hey, we want to be a part of this team. So those are the guys that feel like that need to have a good start to their preseason.
Well, best
Saturday
of luck
night.
To Mozzie. You know, I think it's incredibly frustrating because you look at what went wrong after San Francisco, Green Bay, and it's really the draft of Scooney, Mozzie, and Guyton, right? It's a two twos and a two.
It made Will McClay come out and say, hey, when you ask what kind of player you want, it's about players that love football. And the last two, we'll see with Guyton and how that circles back.
I think he answered the call.
Yeah, he's on the path. Mozzie had a chance to answer the call like Guyton did, and I don't think that's happening.
I mean, I just need to see Guyton prove that he can go out into a football field and do things well. He's saying all the right things. He's sure. working hard. I need to see him in an NFL game or a joint practice or something perform well in order to believe that maybe it's just one draft that's really on the hook. But one draft can bury you. Can you imagine how different we'd be looking at this defense's potential if Mozzie Smith could be a run-stuffing, one-technique defensive tackle? And you take him at 26 thinking, this is a sure thing.
Yeah.
Right? Teams don't take one techs in the first round, but we're going to because we need it, and this is a sure damn thing, and it's unbelievable it hasn't worked out, and it's been such a failure. If he was just average,
I know he's been so bad.
I don't think football is really important to him. It's like I said this a bunch. Football is a tough game, and for you to be a part of a team like that, you show toughness. I don't question that. I just don't think he loves to play the game like he needs to. And
I don't blame
I think
him.
That's the
you know
point.
I don't no way I would have played football. You know, I guess. At that position, right? Make me a quarterback, make me a wide receiver, a corner, you know, somewhere I'm having fun. Can I be an edge? Can I be a QB hunter? Yeah, but those guys in the middle, pretty much, the guards, the center, the defensive tackles, they're like just lining up and bludgeoning each other for 3 hours. It's insane. Like, you got to love that level of violence and love football and love being part of a team to, like, sacrifice to go through that.
It's tough.
Or you're chasing money.
Yeah.
And once you get first-round pick money, it's guaranteed for 4 years, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's
very, very tough for him to have that kind of attitude.
If he'd been a second rounder, he'd still be chasing the cash. But I don't think there's any hope. And I guess you only hang on to him now, so you don't have to suffer the humiliation and the possibility that he goes somewhere else.
I wouldn't be surprised if they move on.
Into camp cut.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
What are we doing next, Chief?
College Football Thursday, Darty featuring Arch Manning, Red Zone Saturdays, and a local furry allegation next in the nation.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Jake's here off of Marsh Lane and Walnut Hill. Come on, swing by. Somebody's winning these Rangers tickets today. It might as well be you, and you might as well go ahead and get a burger and some brews while you're at it
as well.
Four lucky winners get a limited edition baseball jersey that says Jake's on the front. It's green. It looks amazing. And you got some pint glasses that you can also get for the 40th anniversary of Jake's while you're here. Say hi to Fred. Say hi to myself. And let's have a good day. It is Friday, so
hey, everybody,
might as well have a take a load off Friday. We do turn our attention now to our friend Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. She is the knower of numbers, and she has been to pretty much all the camps. Cynthia, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. I love camp time because, number one, everyone thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl, which is great. And, you know, number two, I like the heat. I don't get, you know, in Southern California, we don't get, like, the crazy heat, like, some of the other places, so I haven't had humidity in a while, so it was fun.
What is what's the best camp to go to? Because we get to go out to the Cowboys experience, you know, once a year. We get to go see that out in Oxnard. Yeah. What's the best environment that you've experienced so far?
Oh, well, I was in Detroit on the day when they had puppies, so it's really hard to, you know, like, rescue dogs, like, really make things, like, pretty incredible. But
yes.
I mean, the Raiders was cool too, because we were inside. But I don't know, like, I because and when you go to Raiders for work, you know, you just get good meals on the road in Vegas, so I think they're all pretty awesome. But I think if I had to pick one of, like, all of the ones I've ever been to, riding the bikes in Green Bay is pretty cool.
Okay. All right. See, and that's the thing, Fred, like, when we go to spring training, mm-hmm. I tell people, make that a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
Like, spring training's awesome. You can see, like, 10 games in one day, it feels like, sometimes. So I'm always trying to figure out if the bucket list for NFL camps. So I appreciate that, Cynthia.
Of course.
You did have the breaking news earlier in the week that it's unlikely that Micah Parsons plays for the Cowboys. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you heard and what you're feeling from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like everyone else, it's hard to imagine that actually happening, because this is the timeline that the Cowboys go along basically every single season, at least since 2015 with Dez, right? So ultimately, you know, this is something that happens. Last year, Dak didn't sign until, you know, literally the day of the first game. So we're used to this cadence. However, I think that, you know, it's different. A pass rusher's market this late in the game is, and especially one that's as talented as Micah, is just so much easier to plug and play than a quarterback, right? You're not, Dak's probably not switching teams later in the game because it'd be really hard to do a reinstall, et cetera, et cetera. So your leverage is a little bit different. And the fact that no one has really talked to Athletes Versus and David Mulligata, that's interesting as well. So while my source said that they think it's unlikely, I'm like, are you sure? Because I feel like this is always what the Cowboys do. And as far as control goes and the contract goes, the Cowboys do have control of the situation more than if there were some sort of free agency involved. But, you know, that I feel as though they're at least, you know, fielding offers, or it, you know, their calls are coming. Now, if they're listening to those calls, that's a different question. But calls are coming in more, kind of with more reality behind them than other times. Again, I don't imagine it, but my source said that it's more likely that he doesn't than in years past with other types of clients and other types of players.
Cynthia, appreciate having you on. We had a barbershop in McKinney that said they wanted to let you know that you got all their love. So, mm-hmm.
yep.
And they are big Cynthia fans. So there you go. Aww. So you, the DFW is in full effect.
Let's go.
100%. So again, and you've been doing this a long time. So, you know, and you're echoing a lot of what people here in Dallas think. It's like, yeah, he can send that trade request out, but more than likely it's going to get done in the sloppy fashion that it gets done in Cowboys world. What made your source think that this was going to be different?
I think the fact that the market is, like, because of the difference from the player, like, positional standpoint, like, you know, there are 31 other teams that could find a use for him in, like, 2 seconds without having to do much to reconfigure their other players. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. And the value that Micah has, considering the number of snaps he plays, isn't as high as some of the other of his contemporaries, would command something that would at least be interesting in the trade market perspective. Whereas you're going to, you know, a lot of times a player's demand closer to the season starting goes down because of what we talked about before, installs, trying to figure out how they fit within a system, organizational structure, trying to figure out a 53-man roster, how much money do we keep in the cap for injury considerations, et cetera. It becomes harder. Well, now you have this plug-and-play piece that literally any day of the season, you know, week 17, Micah could go on a team and be impactful from day one.
Cynthia, we also got a number of people texting in saying that you've helped them win fantasy games in the past and fantasy seasons. So you keep that up and let them know. Let them know right now where they can get the best fantasy advice from you or the best advice for those things.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got Fantasy Live coming back on NFL Network, and, you know, I'm on Twitter at C Freeland and Instagram at Cynthia Freeland. So either one, we'll have a lot of good stuff, and Numbers Games coming back, my YouTube show, so we'll have a lot of good notes there. And some of this camps, like, I feel like sleeper picks are kind of my, like, favorite ones to do because, you know, we can fight all day. Do you want Saquon? Do you want Bijan? Okay, whatever. Comes down to your draft position. But if you can get, like, the Trey Tuckers of the world, now we're talking about it. Like, those guys later round picks that you could potentially slide in, and they give you that upside, especially later in the season when you really need it, when injuries start to strike.
All right, I know, and people might get upset about this. I love fantasy football. As a matter of fact, the Jakes that we're out today, they are going to be hosting my fantasy football draft coming up here in a couple of weeks. I'm really excited about that. But the when it comes to Dak and George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, not just the fantasy numbers, but the expectation, the expected numbers for what those guys are going to do this season, Dak's kind of been in this weird place where you're like, is he elite? Is he just regular 13, you know, in middle of pack, trying to figure out. But adding George Pickens definitely adds some pop to what this team is, right?
Well, I'm going to ask you again. This one actually comes back to our initial discussion of Micah. Because if Micah's playing, then the defense will not be as leaky, right? If Micah's not playing, then I think the numbers, I'm talking about fantasy, well, real life too, but, you know, think about it like that, right? Like, how much more will they need should they not have as strong of a defense? So
right.
I think a lot of those numbers come down to the complementary aspect of how good the defense will be. Like, for example, you know, you want to target a ton of those Cincinnati Bengals because I'm very confused about their defense, and that even includes if Trey Hendrickson plays. So, you know, that's the type of thing where for fantasy, you know, you just got to kind of remember, we all like wins. When you're a Cowboys fan, your most important number is wins. When you're a fantasy fan or you're trying to pick your fantasy team, you want to make sure you're getting the most points possible. So look for those teams that have, you know, offenses that are forced to overcome some deficiencies on the defense.
Cynthia Freeland joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. You mentioned earlier that you go to a lot of different camps, so you get the vibes and what have you. God bless you for liking humidity. Just don't stay in it too long. After 12 years in Houston, I can speak to that. Well, that. Exactly, right? You're just kind of you're cherry picking on the humidity. God bless you for that.
That's right.
So. And one thing you mentioned that stuck out, and because, again, this is, everybody, it's rainbows and unicorns right now for everybody.
That's right.
But my question for you, and you don't have to name names, quarterbacks notwithstanding, what's the difference that you notice or sense with the teams that say they have Super Bowl aspirations and they're just saying it versus the teams that legitimately do?
I think it's an easiness, meaning when they're in practice, they balance like a hard practice, but it's an easy, they have an easy way about them. Like, it sounds weird to be like the vibes, right? But the vibes are in check. Like, you see a lot of players telling each other, like, hey, you know, when you're running this route, blah, 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 blah. And they're helping each other out because they're super focused. But they're also laughing and having fun and not messing around, but, like, keeping it light because this is a game after all. And the more that they love it, the better they'll do. For example, you know, I actually spend some extended time with the Broncos. And Evan Ingram, the way he's folded into this offense and the way he's also able, as a veteran coming onto this team, to, you know, obviously Bo is a second season quarterback, and there are some things when you're adjusting to each other and forming a new chemistry, they have great communication, and you can see it, you can hear it, but it doesn't feel like, you know, it's not like tense. It's like, oh, okay, cool. All right, let's do this. Okay, great. Like, let's help each other out a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up Bo Nix, because we constantly have that conversation with, I think Sean Payton's a fantastic offensive mind. The skill set of Bo Nix, that marriage that they've had, was really fun last year. It was an absolute blast to watch, and I kind of got ahead of it because of preseason. They ran their preseason like he was going to run it in the season, so I was like, this guy actually might have something this year. What is the belief with Sean Payton and Bo Nix? Because there were a lot of question marks about what he was. He's legit. He feels legit to me.
Yeah, I mean, making the playoffs is a pretty good legit leader. But here's what I'm going to say. This team feels to me as they'll go the way their run game goes, because that was the kind of missing piece of the puzzle. Bringing in Evan Ingram, I mean, okay, let's just put this for fantasy purposes. Yes, Evan Ingram is going to totally be someone you want to target. All right, that's aside, because we know Sean Payton loves him, a tight end who can catch passes. Done. Mm. Now, with the run game, I think, you know, when you draft a running back, you know, not Jadae Barron, that was their first round pick, the corner, but, you know, you draft a running back and then you get rid of Javonte Williams, but, you know, you say, this is the focus of the team. Well, then you look back at, like, what was last year. Well, Javonte Williams, I think his total yards, and he led the team, were the second fewest for any team leader, just behind Las Vegas. So the point is the run game was not a source of strength. And if there's one thing you know about Sean, and there's one thing we all know about Sean, he wants to have the Alvin Kamara chess piece run game, but like a short pass that imitates a run and effectively acts as a run. Doesn't really matter, right? But he wants to have that. So getting rid of Javonte Williams signaled that they didn't have the right pieces in place. So I think the run game will be a huge emphasis in this preseason, but also I think that will dictate a lot of where their aspirations are for this team, because, you know, they're in a second season. Bo will have it'll be a little trickier because teams are now be defending him specifically, at least to begin with. And this defense is already awesome, but, you know, every single season you got to see, okay, does Jadae Barron fold in nicely? Are they going to play with Riley Moss? You know, are they playing with, you know, five defensive backs every night? Like, what's going on? So, you know, this team will go how the run game goes.
You said getting rid of Javonte Williams. We got Javonte Williams here in Dallas. Are we okay? I mean, like, you said getting rid of, like, he's just kind of throw it out there.
Well, I say it like that because, you know, Bo wouldn't have worked for every coach, and Javonte doesn't work for Sean, right?
Okay.
Because the point is fit matters a ton.
So
right?
Much.
Javonte is, yeah. By the way, if you need to ask Javonte, when we did coverage of him at the Combine, I believe his nickname was Pookie.
Okay.
So you should ask him about that. I believe that was his nickname. anyways, I love it. But I think the point is what the strategy of how you want to run the Cowboys, the run game, the run aspect of the Cowboys is completely different. When you close your eyes and you think of Cowboys run, you get a much different look than when you think about Sean Payton's running backs.
Agreed.
Over the course of the year. So the fit with Javonte Williams wasn't right. I actually think the fit is very nice with the Cowboys. Now, I'm going to asterisk there because nobody loved Tyler Booker being signed more than me, but maybe all of Dallas, but other than that, you know, you still don't replace, five more years until we'll see him in Canton. This is a guy who's not just a Hall of Famer, but like a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. You don't easily replace him, even if you get a guy who looks really good.
Cynthia, you mentioned the Cowboys' run game. We got a nugget yesterday that our guy Babe Laufenberg dropped on us, that this was the first time ever where Shoddy is going to be able to call plays I mean, he's called plays, but he's always called plays for defensive-minded head coaches, right? So we don't know, let's call it what it is. We've never kind of thought of Shadi as, quote-unquote, an innovative offensive mind. Now, could that be because of the coaches he's coached under? We don't know. What are you expecting with the Shadi slash Clayton Adams, you know, offensive mindset going into 2025?
I like it. I think it maybe wasn't like, look, you're the Cowboys, so every hire is going to be meticulously scrutinized in various ways with various levels of rigor, right? Like, meaning like how worked up someone on TV may want to get. But if you're looking at the track record and you're looking at consistency and you're looking at someone who knows football and fundamentals and the things that matter as you're trying to sort out, you know, a team that's had a – you know, I think Dallas every year thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl, so it's a disappointment. You know, I never once this time of year I'm like, you know, Dallas is just going to be happy if they win 8 games. Like,
nope.
Never.
Nope,
right.
We aren't.
So the expectations are sky high always, and now you have someone who's like a football, like obviously, you know, they've all been football guys, but you know, like, this is a fundamentals, he's not loud, he's not voice, like, he seems like a solid, I mean, I don't want to call him boring because I don't think he's boring, but for Dallas and like all of the fanfare around Dallas, I think having someone who's a little bit, I'm going to use the word calmer, is a great thing.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, no, I do.
And I don't know the right word for it. Like, he seems like an adult. You know, like, he's just like an adult.
Yeah, and that's got to be a good presence. Hopefully it is. Cynthia, thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to talking to you again during the season. Go follow her right now on Twitter and all the social medias, at C Freeland on Twitter, where she is kissing math, literally, on her picture there. So get after it. And Cynthia, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Enjoy Absolutely. The last bits of summer.
Almost there. Almost there to the nice cool weather in Texas, which will be like, you know, 95 is kind of what we're looking forward to there.